Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. In this episode, I'd like to further expound on a point that I kind of made as a bit of a sidebar in my last episode, because I was using it to make other points. So, let's get started. So for those of you who are like me and have slept since our last episode, or for those who, this is the first episode of mine that they're listening to, I would like to give you a bit of a recap. So in my last episode, after debunking the myth that the rich are hoarding all the money, by basically pointing out that even the most profit-hungry rich person would know that doing so would essentially implode the economy, either directly or indirectly over time by inflating it, and we all know what happens when a balloon gets blown up too much, it pops. We all know that. And which would happen depends on if the government decides to print money to solve the problem or not. So after I debunked that myth, I then moved on and I mentioned how, contrary to popular belief, I believe that the metric system and the French Revolution are connected and that they are both communist. And when I was making that point, I said that if you have something that looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, has DNA and anatomy of a duck, you can call it a dog all day long. You can call it a dog till you're blue in the face, or until the cows have come home, gone back out, come home again, gone back out again, come home, and are going back out. You can make that point as much as you want. But that doesn't mean that the thing is a dog. So I want to expound on that a little bit. This one's probably still going to be kind of brief, but I do want to kind of expound on that a little bit more. As sort of a companion or addendum to my episode debunking the your truth, my truth crap. Because it's very closely related. In fact, what I'm going to talk about is essentially the main building block of that idea, of that it's my truth or it's your truth. It's essentially the foundation that ideology sits on top of. So you may be asking yourself, after all this suspense, what exactly is this thing I'm talking about? And that thing would be that there's a subset of the population, mostly on the left, although I'm sure some of this exists on the right too, especially when you get to the particularly black and white thinkers, you will find this, where they think that saying a thing over and over again makes the thing true, that they can speak the thing into existence. Now, you can pray for something. So you can say, like, I rebuke whatever in Jesus' name. There are some things you shouldn't do that with. Basic common sense would tell you that, as well as basic scriptural knowledge, but that's a topic for another day. We're not talking about prayer, we're talking about secular, especially political discussions, where people think that if they just say a thing over and over again, that makes it true. Now, before I get to debunking that idea, I do want to point out that there are some times where you do have to repeat yourself, you do have to say something over and over again, but, however, comma, that is different because you're not saying that you saying it will make it true, or even implying it. And that is if the thing you are saying is backed up by scripture or by other truth that aligns with scripture. So, if I say, for example, that 2 + 2 = 4, I could say it 10,000 times. I could sit here on the, I'm not going to, but I could sit here on this episode and just say 2 plus 2 equals 4, 2 plus 2 equals 4, 2 plus 2 equals 4. I could say it 10,000 times right here, right now. Again, not going to. And it would still be true. But the difference is that me saying it is not what makes it true. I'm just repeating something that's already true. Because, I mean, try it. Try to count to four. You're going to get 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, there's not even a great way to explain how it's true because it's just so evident. Similar thing with things that are very clear in the Bible. You know, the fact that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. I could sit here and say that 10,000 times. I could say Jesus died on the cross and rose again. He died on the cross and rose again. He died on the cross and rose again. I could say it over and over again. But that wouldn't make it true because it was already true before I even... It was true before I was even born. Before any of y'all were even born either. So, as anyone should know. So the fact that I am saying it is not what is making it true. I'm just repeating something that is already true. Now, on the other hand, if I say something over and over again trying to make it true, that is because it is not already true and I desperately want it to be true. So, if I say, for example, if for whatever reason, if I drank some tainted coffee or something and wanted suddenly that 2 plus 2 should equal 15, and I sat here and just said on the air 10,000 times, 2 plus 2 is 15, 2 plus 2 is 15, 2 plus 2 is 15, that would not make it true. I could say it 10,000 times, I could say it 100,000 times, I could say it 80 trillion times, it wouldn't matter. Because 2 plus 2 would never equal 15. It would not. It could not. So, this idea that you can say a thing into existence is ridiculous. Because even if you're praying, like, even if you're praying that you want someone to be healed, and, like, I mean, the scriptures say not to vainly repeat something, but even if you pray for something 1,000 times, you want it to be healed. And if it happens that the thing you're praying for ends up being healed, you didn't heal that person or yourself. God did. So you saying it is not what made the thing happen. You were just being used by God to help make a thing happen. He made it happen. So the problem that we have in our culture is a lot of people want things to be true that are not true, and they think saying them over and over again will make them true. Now, we also do have a lot of people who say true things over and over again, but that's different. That's because they're trying to convince people, that something is true, who deny the truth of that thing. And that's not as effective as those people would probably like it to be, but that's not today's topic. And the reason why that correlates with the last episode is, again, with the duck example. You know, I could say it's a dog, I could say it's a cow, I could say it's a rocking chair, I could say it's I could say that it is it is a rock, that it's not even, I guess a rocking chair wouldn't be alive either, but at least it would come from something that's living. A rock does not. I can even say it's a rock, you know, and whatever I say it is does not change the fact that it is a duck. And I could say it 10,000 times. This thing is a dog, this thing is a dog, this thing is a dog. And it would not change the fact that it is a duck. No matter how desperately I want it to be a dog. or a rocking chair or a cow or whatever. Whatever non-duck thing I want it to be. And I think that this tendency to try to speak things into existence, a lot of it comes from this universe nonsense where you have people talking about manifesting and universes and crap. And all of that comes from a much deeper place too, because all of that comes from people trying to live without God. Because when they, you know, when you remove the top of the tower, then the block beneath it becomes the top. So when you remove God from the top of the tower, so to speak, and if man was the block under him, because we were created in his image and we were given dominion over the earth, then you are making man the top of the tower. So by doing so, you are giving man power that man does not and cannot and should not have. And a consequence of that, one of the many, is that you think you can speak something into existence, that you can create. You may dress it up in this universe nonsense, but that doesn't change the fact that ultimately everybody knows the universe itself is not alive. The universe itself is not alive, so therefore it cannot make your cup of coffee. It cannot make you have a good day at work. It cannot tell you which way to go when you get lost driving to the grocery store, whatever it may be. The universe can't do that because it is not alive. Which is one of the problems with paganism, by the way. They worshiped things that weren't alive and therefore couldn't actually help them, like the stars and whatnot. But the thing is that's what a lot of people do now. Because they think that man is at the top of the tower, that man is the most powerful being, they think that they can make things happen and speak things into existence that they can't, because only God can do that. And again, they dress it up in the universe crap that they say, oh, the universe will do this, the universe will do that, the universe will tell me where to go. But really, it's them, or it's other people that they are looking to. And so that causes, or at least coexists neatly, with this idea that they can speak things into existence. Like, you know, if a man thinks he's a woman, he can say he's a woman a billion times, and that'll somehow make it true. Or if, you know, and unfortunately you see it in the other direction. People who, whether they want to make more money by selling, you know, selling fear, which is very profitable, they want to goad people into action or get people to buy their greenwashed products or their survival products for the end of the world, whatever it may be. They'll come up with climate alarmism myths. And they'll say, oh, well, the sea levels are going to eat up half the U.S. or whatever nonsense. Sea levels are going to rise 77 feet in the next 3 years if we don't stop eating chicken, and it's going to go to Hello Kitty in a handbasket if we don't stop running our air conditioners when it's 96 degrees outside, you know. Even though everybody knows that all of that's a bunch of crap. And so that's kind of the thing that I was expounding on here, is this idea that a lot of people think that you can speak things into existence. You can't. You can pray to God, but God's not going to go against his own word, because God can't lie, which means God can't sin. So if you're praying for God to do something that clearly goes against his word, then he won't do it, because he won't go against his own word. I mean, could he in theory? Yes. But he won't, because he won't go against his own word. He can't lie. He can't sin. Therefore, he can't go against his own word. Like, if his word didn't exist, then I'm sure there are things in theory he probably could do that he won't, because his word exists, because he's already made his word. I'm not, full disclosure, obviously, I did not go to school for this. But I, that is my best guess based on what I know, from the scripture and from being someone who actually pays attention in church. So the other thing that went along with that is that we have a common saying in our culture that the best idea, the best way to combat bad speech is more speech. And while I understand the sentiment of this, I will say it's not technically accurate enough for today's political climate. Because today's political climate, especially with social media, is very polarized and very known for creating echo chambers. So you could say, for example, cats have four legs. Or no, that would be good speech. So you could say, cats don't have legs. They roll. They're like roly-polies. They don't have legs. And, you know, someone could then comment, yeah, this is exactly, I've been saying this all along, yeah. And that would be more speech. That would objectively be more speech, but that would not solve the problem. In fact, that would just muddy the waters for anyone reading the thread. Or at least for anyone who's not completely insane. That would, you know, that would not be solving the problem that the quote, aims to encourage people to solve by following what it says. A better adaptation to that would be the best solution to bad speech is good speech. Because that would mean that, or you could even go even further, more technically accurate. You could say the best solution to incorrect speech is correct speech. Now, with a caveat, because, and this is the problem we saw with the leftist disinformation crusade, it was this idea that opinions counted as disinformation. They don't. Anyone who has passed fifth grade English should know the difference between a fact and an opinion. However, the two are often both used within the same discussion. So, there is no one quote of those two that I said that will always solve the problem. And that's the thing. We need to stop just using... We need to stop trying to rule the world with bumper stickers. So much of life is so... So much of life is more complicated than you can fit on a soup can label or a bumper sticker or a Facebook bio. We have so many problems today where the solution is much more complicated than you can fit in those short little snippets, those little TikTok sound bites. So that's possibly a topic for another day. But where I was going with that is that more speech itself does not solve the problem. If, for another kind of lighthearted example, you had two brothers named Johnny and George that were both raised in a cult that believed that 2 plus 2 equals 15. Now, I will say, if you believe 2 plus 2 is 15, then that's a sign, because if your beliefs on such simple matters as math, you know, simple basic math that 2 plus 2 is 4, if you think it's 15, that probably means that you are illegal refugees from the Republic of Insania. But wherever you come from, the point is, let's say you have these two brothers, and one of them, Johnny, decides he's going to go on social media and say that 2 plus 2 equals 15. That he's so desperate for it to be true, he's going to say it a million times. He's going to dedicate his life to evangelizing, for lack of a better word, the idea that 2 plus 2 is 15. He's going to say it till he's blue in the face. His last words are going to be, 2 plus 2 is 15. And let's say that, as should happen in any functioning society, people correct him every chance they get. Every time he tries to convince people to follow him, they say, no, it's 4. It's not 15. What's wrong with you? I mean, hopefully they wouldn't say what's wrong with you, at least the first time they hear it, but they might. Something that basic, they might. I probably would after the 4th or 5th time he tried to tell me otherwise. 'Cause my supply of patience is not as well stocked as should be. But anyway, let's say that happens. And then let's say his brother George jumps in and always says, no, it's 15, it's 15, I swear, it's 15. That is more speech. He is contributing more speech to the conversation. But the speech he is contributing is not enriching the conversation. Which kind of adds to another thing that we have in our culture, where people think that more is always better. Which I think is just part of human nature. It might not even just be a today thing. It might just have always been a thing to one extent or another, but like, that's beside today's point. Essentially, the point of today is to expound on the fact that, one, no matter how desperate you want something to be true, that thing will never be true if it is not already true. Because we as humans cannot make something true. God made the world. So, you know, if we want something about our world to be true that is just a matter of basic truth, like, you know, that 2 plus 2 is 4, that a man is a man and not a woman, you know, those things are already true. God made the world, so he made those things be true. So if we, you know, if we say them over and over again, we're not making them true by saying them. We're just repeating things that are already true, and we should not vainly repeat things. Shouldn't just say something over and over again, because doesn't do any good to just say it over and over again if there's no need to convince anyone, or if no one is being convinced by it. But the issue that we have a lot that's bigger than that problem of people just repeating true things over and over again when there's no need, or when the people they're trying to convince are not listening, the bigger problem we have is people want to make things that are not true, true. And they think that by saying those things over and over again, that will somehow change the basic fabric of reality. So like, if someone has a cat and wants it to be a cow, I could say that this cat is a cow over and over again. That would not change the fact that it's a cat. If someone wants 2 plus 2 to be 15, they could say it over and over again. It wouldn't change the fact that 2 plus 2 is 4. That is the building block, the main building block that was laid, that then the, if we're thinking of an ideological tower, that is the main block that sits right under the idea that we can have our own truths. Because if I can say something that is not true right now is true over and over again, and that makes it true, then that logically leads into the idea that I can make my own truth. That if I say something, then that thing must be true. And therefore, I can reshape my entire reality based on what I want to be true or what I believe is true, regardless of what the Bible says or what, you know, just the world around me is like, just as a basic matter of the truth that God created, you know. So even though the Bible doesn't say 2 plus 2 is 4, it just is. That's just the way God made it. 2 plus 2 is 4, no matter what I think. I wanted to touch on that, because that was a point that I was trying to make in my last episode, but it ended up being kind of a sidebar in that one, because I was using it to lead into my point that a lot of people say that the French Revolution and that metric are not communist, and that sometimes that they're not even connected, even though they are, just even from a chronological standpoint, they are, and the fact that France was the first country to adopt it in the 1790s, which is the period of the revolution. I mean, they just are. There's no getting around it. I wanted to touch on that, and the idea that the best solution to bad speech is more speech. That the fact that quote is too vague for our modern political discourse in the age of social media, because people can contribute more speech in response to bad speech, but the more speech will not always automatically be enriching, because if I'm saying something wrong and people are jumping in and just affirming it, saying, yes, yes, that thing is, that's true, yes, yeah, or even better yet, I didn't touch on this in the two examples that I gave, but better yet, if I have people trying to argue that thing is true, like making arguments in support of that thing, that is a lot more speech than just reaffirming what I've said. But it's still not the solution. Because if I were to say, drink some really tainted coffee, someone slipped something into my sweet tea, and I was saying that the earth is flat, and then you jumped in and said, oh yeah, the earth is flat because there's a wall around it, and da 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 da, and trying to make arguments as to why it's flat, you're contributing more speech, but you're not solving the problem, and that is that I am saying something that is clearly incorrect, and clearly a sign that I need to go to the hospital if I'm saying that the earth is flat, because that's just insane. Either that or I got transported to the Republic of Insania. One of the two. Let's hope neither happens. Because that would not be good. I prefer to believe that the earth is round, because it is. anyway, back to the recap of this episode. The idea that the solution to bad speech is more speech leaves a lot to be desired, because, again, more speech does not always solve the problem. It's enriching speech. It's right or wrong, like it's right speech in response to wrong speech if I'm saying something factually inaccurate, like the idea that the earth is flat, or, you know, it's good speech if I was saying that men could be women, or that that God was not real or something, that would be bad speech. Good speech would be in response to that, stating that God is real, and he's good, and that he loves everybody, that that his word is infallible truth, that he created people male and female. If I'm saying that, you know, men could be women, well, obviously they can't, because the Bible clearly says God creates people male and female. Well, it says them, but them means people and animals. In fact, it even, you know, it means people, at least in the Genesis 5:2 verse, because it says that God created, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day they were created. So, it's talking about man, it's talking about people. So that would be good speech in response to bad speech. It's not just more speech. I could just type, you know, more speech doesn't even have to just be arguments, or affirmations of bad speech. More speech could just be someone typing A over and over again. That would technically be speech, but it wouldn't be coherent, so it would definitely not be enriching to the conversation. So, yeah, I essentially, in this episode, have recapped a point that I made in my last episode, or started to make anyway, which was that no matter how desperately you want something to be true, if it's not true, you're not going to make it true. And that, related to that, the solution to bad speech is not just more speech, it's good speech. Speech that actually enriches the conversation and clarifies what's right, and what's good in the world. So, thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast or considered it to be food for thought or informative. You can find this episode on Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, the RSS feed, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and Apple Podcasts. You can also contact us if you feel so inclined at @JFSCpod or on Facebook at Jesse's Fireside Chats. And if you would like, you can send us an email at jessiesfiresidechats@gmail.com. That's JESSEAS firesidechats@gmail.com. No capitals, no spaces, just all one word. And if you would like to support us with a small donation, please feel free to do so at ko-fi.com/Jesse's Fireside Chats. That's ko-fi.com/Jesse's Fireside Chats. And again, it's just all one word, no capitals, none of that fancy stuff. No pressure on that, but we would really appreciate it. And if you want to pass this along to anybody you know who might be interested in the topics that I cover, please feel free to do so. And I hope you'll come back next time. Have a blessed day.